The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. It's great to be back in studio. It is great to not be traveling. The last 3 weeks have been in a lot of places. Charlotte and Chicago with Kevin Durant, the Suns, Vegas, Boise. Went to Boise on a whim for Northern Arizona, then down to Vegas for the Pac-12 and the WAC tournament. And then up to Denver, was with GCU and Arizona State, so it's great to be back. Our chairman of the board is the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. He does not screw up. If I do, it's his fault. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do, as always, appreciate their support. What a weekend. So Friday, I was with you guys Friday and went to the games Friday night. I go to in Denver. I get there early and I walk out onto the floor and I see the GCU Lopes going through their workouts. And off to the side, I see Jerry Colangelo. Jerry Colangelo's in the stands. It's always impressive when you see the Godfather, you see Jerry at an event because you know it's a big event. And so I see Jerry, we go over there and we chat, and I see Brian, wave at him. I have a seat that is right behind the broadcast for True TV that was doing the game. Steve Smith and Avery Johnson, Dave Pasch was there doing the game on radio. It was fun. It was a good spot. Great games, two great games. Just so we're really clear, I am not ever one that sits here and bemoans officiating because I think there's a small little base that is all about officiating. There were some horrible calls against ASU, but guess what? That's life. When you miss a couple free throws down the stretch, you're going to lose. Tough way for them to go out. A lot of fun to see TCU's just long, man. Oh, my gosh, they're long. And then Gonzaga, watching them against GCU, they're big. Just, you know, Drew Timmy, he's player of the year. Vote on that today, the Wooden Award. So it was good to get around both those teams. We're going to have two guests today that are going to be very college-centric, which is what we're about. We're big on high school. We're big on college. We're big on pro. But, you know, the pros get a lot of attention, and I can go down that path and bring great guests. I have two great guests today. They're going to focus primarily on the future of Bobby Hurley. They're going to focus primarily on this Pac-12 media deal finally coming to an end in the next couple of weeks. Doug Howler is going to be with us from The Athletic. Respect Doug a great deal. Sat with Doug down in Charlotte when Kevin Durant had his first game. It was Brian Windhorst, myself, Doug Howler, Dwayne Rankin. That was it. Four people. Three people with ties to the Valley. That's it. No TVs, no nobody else. And Doug wrote a good column this morning on what are the Cardinals doing. So we'll chop it up with Doug Howler, but primarily on Bobby Hurley and his future. Because I've been banging this drum since back in December. Like, what are we doing here exactly with a year left on his deal and he's not being extended? And now it's become a talking point because they drug their feet at all with something university. John Wilner will be with us. John Wilner is with us every Monday. Every Monday, year-round, and John Wilner's content is on sports360az.com. John wrote a great column last night. He just sent me another column here right before the show started. Having John Wilner as part of our team is terrific. We'll have John on to talk about San Diego State and the Pac-12, the upcoming media deal. Is U of A a blue blood, or is U of A just a... There's nothing else going on in Tucson, and let's just say we're really great, and another flame out. It's not hating, it's just fact. And, you know, Bobby Hurley's deal as well. So we're going to talk about both those on today with both those guests on today's show. Denver was fun. The games were sold out. I don't know if you guys noticed, there were many buildings that were not filled. And the ticket prices were high, from my understanding, in Denver, but great crowds. And they weren't crowds that were just there to follow the teams. Like Grand Canyon easily brought the most fans. They did. Arizona State had a smattering of fans. One of those fans was Jake Plummer. More on that in a second, my interaction with Jake. The Gonzaga fans, I think they're just in that space now of, you know, we're always going to get through the round of 32. we're going to get the Sweet 16. They were there, and they needed a little bit of excitement before they ran away and hid against GCU. But all in all, it was a terrific weekend. I bring this up off the top because we have the Final Four here next year. Yes, we are the market of big events. We just had a Super Bowl and the WM Open. We have that every year. We're going to have a Final Four here next year. And talking hoop is something I love doing. Yeah, I played. I was a stiff back in the day. I was an All-American back in the day until I got hurt. True story, Street and Smith. Look it up. So, basketball, people say, what's your favorite sport? My favorite sport is something where the outcome is not determined until the final seconds. I don't care what else it is. I don't have a team that I root for. I don't care who wins or loses. I don't. There are times where I sat there the other night in Denver saying, yeah, it would be really cool to have Arizona State play Grand Canyon University. But at no point in time, it's like, oh my gosh, these officials are costing us the game. There's no us. That's not how it works here. You can't have that. And so I feel like when we go through the process of getting a Final Four here next year, would it be outstanding and amazing if we had Final Four with a connection to the Valley? Well, I just don't see it happening, or even Arizona. I don't see any of the three schools being there, but you never know. It's the beauty of sports. Did Loyola Chicago have a chance in hell in 2017 of being in the Final Four? No. Were they? Yes. So, yeah, I am rooting next year that let's have a local angle. That'd be pretty cool. But I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, my gosh, my team lost. It doesn't happen. It's never happened. So, Bobby, let's just get into the Bobby Hurley stuff. So, as we're sitting here right now, Rick Pitino has not taken the job yet at St. John's. Rick Pitino reportedly has been offered the job at St. John's. He would be leaving Iona. Ed Cooley reportedly is taking the job at Georgetown. He's leaving Providence. If Bobby wanted to go, Bobby really wanted to go. And I'm of the opinion he should not go. I think people that say Bobby Hurley should go don't understand just how uncommitted the president of the university is to winning. When he says asinine things like he did last week to the state press about how the building's basically fine, that doesn't really matter. I mean, come on, you know, in terms of bringing players in. Bobby won 23 games in one of the toughest places to be in, where you don't bring players through that facility, where you don't have all the resources, where you don't have the commitment. And he's a couple missed free throws away from being right there playing last night. Do I think he could have beat either team? Sure. Could he beat Gonzaga? Yeah, I think that there was enough length. Drew Timmy was unbelievable last night. Drew Timmy is so much fun to watch. He looks like he's 55 years old in a beer league, but he's fun. It's like at the YMCA at the 8 p.m. game after the 7. He's like in the church league where you're on court one or court two. That's what he looks like. And all he does is just go out and kill everybody. And he drops an F-bomb with Andy Katz afterwards because he's just Drew Timmy. He's making good money, from my understanding, in NIL. Gonzaga's got it figured out. I'd love to see Gonzaga bolt the West Coast Conference. And there's people up there that believe that they will bolt the West Coast Conference. There's also people that wonder if Mark Few, when he retires, that program is going to slide. They don't have football. Well, maybe you look at what the Western Athletic Conference is doing, because I think there's going to be more expansion coming there. So it was a good time watching hoops. Jake, I'll go back in the Jake Plummer story. It's halftime of the ASU game. I'm under the tunnel. I'm talking with Doug Tamaro from Arizona State, who does their media relations, and Dave Pasch. Dave Pasch was doing the games on radio for Westwood One. And Doug says, you know, Jake's here. He's sitting about 10 rows up behind you, Dave. And I walk out, and I see Jake, and he points a finger at me. I point a finger at him. And here comes Jake Plummer, and Jake looks like Jesus now. He's let his hair grow long down to his shoulders, and which is fine, and he's got a big old smile on his face. And Jake has to step over the wall, the railing, I should say, and down onto a lower platform, and some security start to come over, and they're like, oh, it's Jake Plummer. And he comes over, and he gives me this big hug, and I'm hugging him, and I'm like hugging a thermometer. I love Jake. There are people, personalities. Yeah, I don't root for teams, but I root for people. There's a guy like Jake Plummer. I've got more Jake Plummer stories through the years, so it's just great to see him. And I'm like hugging him, and he's like, man, you're so great to my family. If you ever need something, da-da-da-da-da. He was just super nice. And he said, I've got ASU in my bracket. Of course you do. Of course you do. You're a Sun Devil. And it was great to chop it up with him. The point of it is the beauty of what we do is the stories, is the people. Love the people. The games themselves, did officials miss calls? Yeah. Was it entertaining all weekend? Absolutely. Did fans get their money's worth? No question. Having March Madness here next year is going to be great. So it was fun. GCU's not there. They need some bigs. They're there in a lot of other places. They have the arena. They have the president who's committed to winning. There's no question about it. Bryce Drew has got a good thing going with assistant coaching staff and himself. He has the best job within the conference. How do you push that product out further so they could play Gonzaga in a regular season game? Or they get a couple of victories in the tournament. That's the next step. That's the next step. They've got to go in the portal, and they've got to land some dudes. They've got to land some dudes. But I'm very bullish on where GCU is in that conference. Winning the WAC 2 out of 3 years. They gave Gonzaga a game for about a half, and then Drew Timmy was kind of like, yep, we're going to put the plow down now. Let's just get out of here and move on to the next round. They're not there yet. The Cinderellas that make March Madness so much fun. Princeton is one of those stories that we love to see. Princeton's for real. U of A found out firsthand. I'm curious how the U of A fan is going to spin this and try to make it sound like and these are the people that just, they will never say anything bad about their school because they went to school there. And that's just not right. If things are bad, they're bad. If you're going to try and spin around that, well, it's not that bad. Look at what we've done in the past. And I would say, I don't know, the last time I saw you in a Final Four was in Charlotte when I first got here all the way back in the 90s, I think it was. Like, I know that there's nothing else going on down there. The football program's been a mess. I think the football program's heading in the right direction. Doesn't mean the basketball program's not. But if you're not stinging over that and asking some questions, I don't know. Then it is just something you like to do to pass some time. You're really not that invested. You're really not that passionate. It's fact. Arizona State, you win 23 games and your coach isn't extended. I feel like that's pretty much looking at the president of the university and saying, how committed are you to this? We're going to talk to Doug Haller about it here momentarily. I watched some of the World Baseball Classic yesterday. Finally, I've been so immersed with college hoops. I think the World Baseball Classic, and can you believe Merrill Kelly of our Diamondbacks? Yeah, I used R. It's right here in our backyard. Can you believe that Merrill Kelly may be pitching for the World Baseball Championship, World Baseball Classic title tomorrow night for Team USA? It's how it's looking. Merrill Kelly, if I would have given you Merrill Kelly a couple of years ago, I'm not bagging on Merrill Kelly. It's just what a great story that is. Trey Turner hits a couple of home runs. A lot of passion, but they're in the finals, and that will be tomorrow night. So I kind of feel like they should play this. If you do the round robin and you do the build-up in March during spring training, but you do the title game in around the All-Star break, would you have more following? Like, it's a busy time of year. I'm flipping between Gonzaga and the WBC last night. I watched some of the live over the weekend. I wanted to see how they shot it and all that stuff. It was just golf. It wasn't really that interesting. I see guys like Bryson DeChambeau making 120 grand for just showing up. Like, I wasn't that captivated by it. I wonder if that thing can go on. I didn't see much of the Suns game yesterday. It's a regular season game against Oklahoma City on a Sunday, and most of the star players aren't playing. Devin played a lot of minutes, had 46. So what? Well, they have to have home court advantage. Really? Did Golden State have home court advantage last year? I'm just not quite sure. How did home court advantage work out for the Suns against the Pelicans last year? How did home court advantage work out for the Suns against Dallas last year? Just wondering. Just curious. Suns play at Lakers on Wednesday. And that's that. Doug Haller and John Wilner. We'll start out with Doug Haller from The Athletic. That's next. All right, as promised, Doug Haller is with us with The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. It is something that I read each and every day. Doug this morning wrote about the Cardinals in depth. I don't know. We'll get into that in a bit. But Doug, by the way, is being honored as the Arizona Sports Writer of the Year in a national event. This happens every year where they vote for a broadcaster and they vote for a writer. And Doug, deservedly so, is getting this honor. Do you get like a bowling trophy or a gift card or what is going on with this? What happened here?
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. They send out an award. It's actually a nice looking trophy, which is very nice. And then they also have a banquet every year over the summer in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I have not attended, but everyone from what I've heard, it says it's very well done. So there's some golf involved, some other things. So I'm going to try, as we were discussing before we got started, I have a senior, my oldest is graduating. So there's some time things we have to work out, but I'm going to make every effort to go.
That is awesome. What were you most proud of in your work last year that got you this award? Do you believe?
Two things, and they both came within a week of each other. One, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but I got a chance to talk with Chris Paul about everyone that the top 10 players he has assisted over his career. And, you know, it took a long time, Brad, to kind of get the time needed with Chris. And, you know, when I was setting this up with the Suns, I was told 10 minutes, you know, that's all he has. This was before a game when Chris was injured. And it really came down to whether Chris was going to be engaged in it or not, if he was into it. And it turned out he was, and it was awesome. We talked for about 15 minutes, and then the Suns had to go. You know, he guessed the guys that he has assisted most, you know, Blake Griffin, JJ Redick, you know, so he was getting other, Monty Williams walked by, and he was getting Monty involved and other assistants involved. So it was cool. And then he had to go inside for a meeting, a pregame meeting. And the best thing was, he goes, stay here. I mean, he could have bolted. That could have been the end. He gave me 15 minutes. That's more than what they said. But the best thing about it was, as Chris said, stay here, I'll be right back. That's how engaged he was. And then he came back out. We talked for 15 more minutes. That was awesome. And then the other thing was, I did a story on the movie scene, the basketball scene from the movie Along Came Polly with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And as you know, you've kind of crossed over into the entertainment field. There are so many instances where Hollywood and sports intersect. And this was one. I've always been a big Philip Seymour Hoffman fan. So just doing that was a lot of fun. And the reach of it was beyond anything that I imagined. So those were two stories I was really proud of.
That's great. That's great stuff. You wrote a story at one point in time about hiking with Bobby Hurley, right?
I did. Yep.
Yep. And we're sitting here today. I wanted to have you on about Bobby and other stuff too, but Bobby Hurley's future at Arizona State, as you and I are sitting here on a Monday morning, do you believe that he will be the next head coach, or stay as head coach, I should say, at Arizona State, or do you believe that he will be leaving?
I think it will depend if Bobby gets other opportunities. And just to be clear, I have, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I wrote about the Cardinals. I have spent more time this past year on the Cardinals, the Phoenix Suns, and other sports. I've not been around the pro basketball program as much. So just me looking into the situation, I feel like if Bobby gets other opportunities to coach, I think he will look at them. I think it depends on the situation, of course. You know, his contract runs through 2024, and here we are, and there hasn't been an extension. That's not great. I mean, it kind of leaves Bobby dangling out there. In my opinion, after, you know, the way they finished the season, playing their best basketball the final month, I think I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona State comes at him with an extension, but I think it really will be in Bobby's court whether or not he wants to continue at Arizona State.
I brought up the hiking part because that's access, that's respect. That's not just like, oh, hey, dude, come along and go hike with me. You know him pretty well. I'm not overstating that, right?
No. Yeah, we set that up a couple years ago, and we made plans to, I think, meet out at his house at 7 a.m. And I was working for the Arizona Republic at the time. It was longer than a few years. It was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And we pulled up to the gate to his community, and the guard called and woke up the whole house. So it got off to a rocky start. But yeah, we hiked. It was, I think, 90 minutes. It was cool. It was a cool story to do. And one of those stories that not every Division I basketball coach is going to agree to do with a reporter. It was great that Bobby agreed to do that.
And you covered Arizona State for an extended period of time before, you know, your role with The Athletic. It's like you're a columnist now out here.
I go back. I started covering Arizona State basketball James Harden's sophomore year, so 2009. You know, and whenever people ask me about Bobby Hurley's performance, you know, how he's done, is it good enough? You know, I've been around the program for a while now. I've never seen Arizona State basketball get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I've always said, Brad, that when you think about Arizona State basketball, the realistic expectations start at the bubble. You know, that's where they are every year. They're at the bubble. You know, some years they're going to win a few games. They're going to get into the tournament. Some years they're going to lose a couple games that they shouldn't, and they're going to fall, and they're not going to make the tournament. But, you know, I've heard people say Arizona State should be a Sweet 16 program. Hey, man, it's been 1995 since they've been to the Sweet 16. I mean, in order to do that, and I'm sure we might talk about this, you know, you have to really examine, like, what's working, what's not working. Is it the coach? Is it the support? Is it the administration? Is it there's a lot of factors that go into it. In my opinion, right now, with what Arizona State puts into the program, you know, that it's reflected in the results, I think.
Dr. Crow is someone that I remember you and I were in Las Vegas for a Who Cares Las Vegas Bowl a few years back. And we stood down the end zone. We chatted up with him. I've seen you write about him many, many times. So you know what's going on with him. But the fan that's out there, the layman that's just doing their thing, may not understand where Crow's view is of basketball. Do you understand where Crow's view of basketball and the importance, or is it just kind of like, we roll a ball out and we can play? Because it certainly feels and seems to me like this doesn't really care that much about the sport. Am I wrong?
Well, I haven't had too many conversations with Michael Crow about the basketball program. It's always been about the football program because, you know, there's been so many kind of highs and lows with that about what does it take to get the football program. And it starts with the football program, right? I mean, so that's appropriate. Everybody knows, anyone who follows this knows that he did an interview with the State Press recently concerning the future of Desert Financial Arena. Brad, you've been around long enough to know that facility is outdated. You know, I've gone back in the archives and looked before, and I've written about this. Bill Frieder was complaining about that facility way back after he just got the job, saying that it was outdated. You know, that's going back into the 90s. And here we are in 2023. You know, he called it a functional arena. It is. It is functional. But I think functional gets you to where you are. Functional gets you into the NCAA tournament. Not much beyond that. Mm-hmm. I do agree. If you want the gym itself, fine. He did mention in his interview with the State Press that the handrails for fans need some help. And I'm sitting on press row there, which is some of the older fans have to really, you know, you've probably been there. They have to pull themselves up on the tables and, you know, the whole thing kind of jerks forward as they're, you know, putting their weight behind it. So yeah, I understand that, but I've heard that for 10 years and it's never been fixed. I mean, 10 years that's been a problem that I've heard that needs to be updated. It hasn't been fixed. They have upgraded the locker rooms. Is it at a high standard? Is it at a Power 5 level? No, it's not. It's upgraded. You know, it's just the weight room below standards. You know, and this is no secret. People have talked about it before. Going, you know, Herm Sindek, you know, when they would have a recruit on campus,
correct?
They would try not to take their recruits to the facility where they play their games. How weird is that? How strange is that? Can you imagine applying for a job and your future employer is doing the interview offsite, not taking you to where you're going to work? So yeah, it's functional if that's your goal, but you know, it's outdated. It's a recruiting disadvantage. You know, and that kind of that reflects the on-court product. He says it doesn't. He said it didn't factor whether or not you win games. Maybe not in the moment, but it certainly, you know, sets the table for what you can do.
When a recruit walks on campus and they don't want to be shown the place, I imagine if a broadcast student or an engineering student or a business student is walking around other parts of the campus and it's in disrepair, it would not be in disrepair. And you know, I understand you teach at Cronkite. I've taught at Cronkite, and this isn't besmirching Cronkite, but Cronkite's facilities are great. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. The basketball facility to me does just not feel like it's a priority in any way, shape, or form. And the comments of the state press came across as tone deaf. If I'm Bobby Hurley, Bobby, from my understanding, was told we're going to get the facility upgraded when they hired him. Mm-hmm. And Bill, I mean, I used to do the games for Arizona State. Bill would tell me off the record, off the air, and now Bill's long gone. Now he'd admit to this place is a bleeping dump. And, you know, and he'd go out and coach his backside off. That to think it doesn't impact recruits looking at coming here and playing, I don't understand where the president is on this one.
No, and when those comments were made public and tweeted out by various Arizona State reporters, you know, I heard from some people saying, like, you know, how can he actually say that? If you're right, if you walk into the arena on game day, it would not take you long to understand where men's basketball and women's basketball as well falls into the priorities of the administration. You know, it's functional. We'll just leave it at that. It is functional, but you know, it goes to the scoreboard. It goes to the handrails, the facilities, the locker rooms, things people can see. You can still get that impression. Things that you can't see, it might be even worse. So, you know, I'm not saying that's if Arizona State built this great new facility, they can expect to compete for Final Fours. I don't know. I think that's a stretch, but I do think a new facility would definitely help.
Talk about Doug Haller for a couple of minutes at The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Great content that is over there. Bounce around before I get you out of here. You have been working on other things. As I mentioned earlier, you're like a columnist around town. I like the freedom and flexibility that you have. What do you make out of the Cardinals here in the off season so far? They haven't done much of anything. People are scratching their heads. They sit there at number three. The smart move is to trade down. You wrote about this today. What do you make out of the Cardinals?
Well, Athletic beat reporter. I'm not a beat reporter for the Cardinals per se, but we do this thing where we do a mock draft for what we think they should do at each pick. And it's really challenging because every pick you come up and you have five different needs. They have so many needs. And I think the thing to establish from the get-go is, you know, this isn't a quick fix. You know, I don't think you could make a few picks and think like, okay, you're ready to contend, especially with Kyler Murray's situation. The thing you have to weigh against, Brad, and you know, I'm really high on Will Anderson. You know, I mean, the balance that what you might have a chance to add, you know, one of the best pass rushers in the league against adding a couple of picks, you know, maybe within inside the first three rounds. I don't know how you weigh that. I think that's a difficult decision. I am an Anderson fan, so I understand keeping the pick, but they just have so many needs. You know, if you could trade down, you know, to maybe 7, 9, wherever it is, get another edge rusher to start off with and maybe add in a few picks. I see that makes sense too. I understand that makes sense too. I understand I'm straddling the fence, but I just think they're in a difficult situation. And they probably could use some more draft picks. Definitely.
What's your gut on the Suns? You know, we saw each other in Charlotte with Durant and gets hurt and, you know, Booker's playing a ton of minutes. It just feels like there's been nothing that's really gone right. It doesn't mean that if you don't have home court, it's the end of the world. The Warriors last year proved that. Pelicans pushed the Suns. I know there's people wound up about home court. What's your view of the Suns in that situation?
Whenever it changes weekly. You know, I had concerns, as many did, you know, when they battled their injuries throughout the year, and yet they were, you know, taking the court and getting blown out by teams by 30 points. And it was one of those things where, like, game 7 last year with the Dallas against the Mavericks, when you could tell within the first by halftime that, you know, okay, they're out of this. They're not, you know, they're down 30 points. Even with the injuries and some of the teams some of the guys they were throwing out there, they should not be getting beat by 30 points. So it made me wonder if there was something going on, something's different. I mean, than what we've seen from the last 2 years. I don't know if they've had a taste of success, so now they're just kind of waiting to turn it on for the playoffs. With so many issues that they've had with injuries, you know, they can't do that. I mean, they just can't. You know, and then they got Devin back, and you're like, okay, they started to play a little bit better. And then when KD came along, I mean, you were there, you saw them. There was just like, you could see the potential with Devin and Kevin, you know, splitting up time with, you know, having one with the second unit on, you know, having one on the floor at all times. It was impressive. And it was hard not to get caught up in the possibilities of what we were seeing. At the same time, they struggled a little bit against Charlotte. They struggled a little bit against Chicago. So maybe we got caught up a little bit too much in that. And then now that he's been injured, I'm a little bit more skeptical. I mean, because he's coming back and you might have, what, a little bit more than a week to try to get this all worked out. Mm-hmm. Just so many balls in the air with them. You know, can they defend? We really haven't seen yet the effect of losing Mikal Bridges, their best defender. How's that going to affect them in the playoffs when things slow down? So, you know, I was really on board with their championship hopes that first week with KD, even though I thought there were, as I just mentioned, some red flags. But now I'm starting to have some concerns and start to think that maybe next year might be the year that they make that jump.
Yeah. Sorry to jump you on there. But Doug Howler with us with The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. He does great work day in and day out. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks. All right, the great John Wilner is with us. Follow his content, Wilner Hotline, on Twitter, of course, on sports360az.com here in Arizona, across the Fruited Plain. People check it out from across the country. All right, let's go down this path of March Madness, and let's focus in on San Diego State. So they are in the Sweet 16. They've been linked to coming to the Pac-12 conference when expansion happens. John, are the administrators, those that are making the decisions of expansion, looking at San Diego State saying, wow, this is great. Every year we'd have a basketball team that would make a run. Or does it not mean a dang thing at all? Are there other metrics? Let's talk about San Diego State and expansion.
Well, I think that there certainly are other metrics, more important metrics, but it doesn't hurt the Aztecs' case at all. You know, the only Pac-12 team left standing, UCLA, is leaving. San Diego State is still in the Sweet 16. Arizona's out, USC's out, ASU's out. So it certainly helps the Aztecs' cause. Optics matter. You know, football, brand, market value, median revenue, all those, you know, the institutional piece with the academics, the presidents are going to put a lot of emphasis on those things. But it certainly doesn't hurt that you've got this struggling Pac-12 basketball product. And here's San Diego State that would be, you know, clearly an above average addition. You know, you could make the case, other than Arizona and Oregon, San Diego State would come in as the third best basketball program, I would say, you know, and they're certainly average, if not above average, in football. So yeah, it's great timing for the Aztecs. Great timing.
Is it a foregone conclusion that when they do get to expansion, because one, there's going to be expansion, right, John? There's going to be expansion.
I would bet that there probably will be. I don't think it's guaranteed.
Okay.
But more likely than not.
Okay, more likely. Is it foregone in your mind that San Diego State will be a member of the Pac-12 once they do go to expand?
Yes. It's hard to see a situation where they expand and San Diego State is not part of it. I mean, I would say if they expand, San Diego State is like 95% sure that they're going to get in. And SMU would be probably pretty close to that. Beyond those two, I'm not sure what they're going to do, because I think that if they do expand, they'll add only two.
Okay, let's go down this path with the University of Arizona. You were there in Tucson for a time. Is it time to bring out the sledgehammer and say enough of the narrative that this is a blue blood program? After what happened against Princeton, John, they've not been back to the Final Four since, I believe, Charlotte. Many, 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 many years ago, even before you were in Tucson, I would guess.
And they were there. They were in the Final Four. What was it? 2001, I think they made it, right? The Gilbert Arenas, Richard Jefferson guys. So, you know, first of all, the definition of blue blood is a little sketchy, right? You could argue that UCLA is not a true blue blood because they've only got one national title in the last 50 years. Arizona is clearly not a true blue blood within the Pac-12. It's one of the heavyweight programs, one of the tentpole programs. Nationally, you know, it's clearly a second tier program, given that NCAA tournament matters. It matters a ton in how you define success, and Arizona has had more wipeouts in the NCAAs than it has had Final Fours in the past couple decades.
I mean, you could make the argument outside of Purdue's train wreck that U of A would have to be up there in terms of disappointments in March, right?
Well, you way up there. I mean, Arizona's the only program that's lost to a 15 seed twice. You know, a bunch of teams have lost, but only Arizona's lost twice. Arizona's lost to a 15, I think 14, 13. There are a bunch of bad losses on Arizona's, you know, resume over the sweep of decades. And you know what? This one, you didn't see it coming, but certainly you could. The ingredients were there for the Wildcats either to lose, the first week or early in the second week. They just are not tough enough. The NCAAs, you got to be tough mentally and physically, tough enough. And they, you know, a lot of those guys looked timid to me in the last 10 minutes. Princeton took it to them. Princeton was the aggressor. And you can't have that. And I think it's got to cause Tommy Lloyd to really rethink the kind of roster he wants. What he has built works great in the regular season. It doesn't work in the NCAAs.
Okay. Is Tommy Lloyd a benefit of the players that Sean Miller left behind? I've heard that from U of A fans quite a bit, that the jury is clearly now out on Tommy Lloyd after something that happened like that. They don't want him fired, but it's like, Brad, he won with Sean Miller's dudes. And so do we have to tilt our head about Tommy Lloyd and say, okay, this is coming up to be a pretty important year for him after what happened?
Well, he certainly did win with Sean Miller's guys. We'll see about his guys. I mean, he's still using Miller's guys to a great extent. So we'll see. Now, I think the next 2 years will be very telling. You know, I don't think he's not in a situation where there's a hot seat, where they've got to do, you know, get to X point in the NCAAs next March. But certainly the next couple of years will be very telling for the kind of the direction of the program under Lloyd. They have got to get more dudes. They got to get some dogs, so to speak. You know, they don't have those guys.
And I sat there in Denver. I went up to Denver and I saw some dogs, bulldogs. And man, Zaga just keeps throwing bigs and bigs and bigs. And they've got some really, really good guard play. And I'm bringing up Gonzaga from this standpoint. John, and I'm in Denver. I'm hearing from every corner. They're gone from the West Coast Conference. And there's been this tie-in of, could they go to the Pac-12? Is it still a possibility? Mark Few made some comments that I thought tilted some heads within the media room, saying, well, we got to do what's best for Gonzaga. What do you make out of Gonzaga and the Pac-12? And could they be in a conference not with a football program?
Well, I don't think they're going to end up in the Pac-12. I just don't see that they are going to bring enough value to the other schools to offset some of the issues. I mean, why would Washington State want Gonzaga in the Pac-12 if the result isn't going to be many millions of dollars more every year? That's a big issue. Why would Oregon and Oregon State want them, for that matter, unless it's a clear financial windfall? And it's not, because basketball doesn't generate the dollars that football does. I think that there's some question within the Pac-12 as to what Gonzaga basketball will be like when Mark Few retires. Few's 60. Who knows how much longer he's going to go? But, you know, if you add a school, you're adding them for, you know, for the indefinite future. So I think that that's a question. I'm still a little bit skeptical on Gonzaga leaving the WCC, because I do not, one, I don't think that they are going to separate basketball from their Olympic sports. I think everything is a package deal. And I have a hard time seeing them schlepping their Olympic sports all across the Big 12, to be honest. So, you know, you never say never, and I'm wrong all the time, but I'll believe it when I see it, them leaving the WCC.
Hey, head coaching hot seat, actually an opening at Cal. Anything new on that front this week?
Nothing new. You know, I think that they would have loved to have hired Missouri coach Dennis Gates, but he's a Cal guy and he just got a big contract extension. We'll see. Joe Pasternak at UCSB, former Cal guy. He's probably in the loop. It would have helped him for a little bit better showing against Baylor. We'll see. You know, it's so off the radar because Cal basketball is a non-entity. They have been so bad. It's not generating much buzz. My guess is they probably are going to have somebody in place in the next week or two. But unless Cal makes some institutional changes, it's going to be hard for anybody to come in and get that program back into the, you know, say top half of the Pac-12.
Okay, let's stay here in Tempe. You know, you've just looking at it from 30,000 feet up in the Bay Area as you follow the Pac-12. Me on the ground here in Tempe, and I'm up in Denver, and I've been talking about this, writing about this. Bobby Hurley, it would not surprise me a bit if he left. You know, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. He's a year left on his deal. He's not been extended. The facility's a dump. The president told the student paper last week it's not that bad. Well, this is a complete joke. And the way that things went down here in the tournament where Bobby, after the game was over, just looked like he was defeated, banging his head against the wall. I don't think we should be having this discussion with 23 wins. But from your view, is Bobby Hurley a guy that could bolt out of ASU?
Would not surprise me. I don't know. Some of it depends on St. John's. I think that he would probably have a lot of interest, but it appears that they're going to hire Rick Pitino. So I don't think Hurley, I think he likes living in Tempe. I think his family's pretty happy. If the right job comes up on the East Coast, I think he would take it. Certainly everybody there has got to be disappointed in the comments by President Crow on the facility. That was deflating for most people. I think part of the issue is that Hurley did so well his first couple of years that maybe Crow looks at it like, well, we won early with the same arena. Why do we need to replace it? But boy, that it's just so, it's so such an ignorance of what matters for successful college basketball. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Hurley left. I wouldn't blame him at all. I don't think Arizona State should hesitate to give him an extension at this point with 1 year left on his deal. Who are they going to get that's better, right? That's the thing. You got to have a replacement in mind if you're going to make a change.
Hey, before I get you out of here, the annual weekly, John, what's new with the media rights? What's new with the conference? You keep going down the path of in the next couple of weeks, are you still in that mindset that by the time we get to March 31st, this is over?
Yeah, this week or next week. I would be very surprised if it's not done this week or next week. I think this is the bottom of the ninth at this point. And I still expect that they're going to come up with a deal that's going to satisfy everybody. I still expect that they're probably going to expand. I think the deal is going to involve ESPN and either Apple or Amazon. And then they're going to get this whole thing done and move on. But if it's not done by, you know, the 1st of April, I think there's going to be some serious questions as to whether the conference is going to hold together.
That's John Wilner every week. We appreciate his time as always. John, stay well.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
We're back with more after this timeout.